I don't know where you are spiritually this morning, husband, wives, single people, young people. If you really want God to use your life, you got to submit yourself to God. You got to die to yourself. If any man wants to come after him, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. David didn't take up his cross.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our focus on forgiveness. As you consider the flawed life of King David, Roel will urge you to stay transparent with God, confessing your sin and continually seeking wholeness in your relationship. While you still may reap negative consequences for your mistakes, you can be sure that forgiveness is available when you truly repent. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, here's Roel Reese.
I titled it David's Repentance and Forgiveness. Now, the reason I say that is because he starts in verses 1 to 4, and he starts out by saying, "And the Lord sent Nathan," he's a prophet, "Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, 'There were two men, one city, one rich, and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished. And he grew up together with his children and ate his own food and drank from his own cup and lay his bosom. And it was there like a daughter to him. And a traveler came in the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd, and to prepare one of the wayfaring men who had come to him, but took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So here now the prophet Nathan is sent by the Lord, and he wants to talk to David. He wants to expose David to his sin. So when he starts out in verse 1, "And then Nathan told David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men, one in one city, one rich and one poor.'" He's talking about David and Uriah. Verse 2, "And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds," David and his army, "but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, his wife Bathsheba, in which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children." He says, "It ate his own food and drank from his own cup and lay his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And as a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring men who come to him. And he took the poor man's lamb, Bathsheba, his wife, to prepare it for the men who had come to him." David had a real problem with women. This was not only an encounter that the Lord gives us in chapter 11 to chapter 12 to show us the strength of men and the weakness of men, how easy it is to fall. And the Lord gave us Proverbs because Solomon had a lot of women in his life, 1,000 women in his life. He had a real problem. And you wonder today how many people in the church, the relationship is being hindered. The Holy Spirit is being not only grieved, but God can really work through those people. He wants to move through those people. Divorce, fornication, adultery, drugs, alcohol, all these things that destroy people's lives, yet they go to church. But it seems like the Holy Spirit is not doing anything in their lives. It seems that the Holy Spirit is grieved because the Holy Spirit is a person. And so David's anger was greatly aroused. He got angry when he heard that story. And yet God was speaking to him. He's that man. Was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man should be put to death. David, you're talking to yourself. How many times, like David, we judge other people when God is speaking to you personally, speaking to me personally, but we're already judging other persons. I think that the scriptures are so clear when you read the scriptures, you actually pray, you wait on the Lord for him to speak to you. In the story here, it's very easy to actually read and find out what the Holy Spirit was talking about. He goes on in verse 6, he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, that's Bathsheba, David, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. He didn't really care about Uriah. Uriah was fighting for David and his army. And while he was away, came out on his porch, looked down, this beautiful woman was Uriah's wife on top of the flat roof, and became tempted, began to lust after this woman, calls her up to his house, has an intercourse with her, sends her back, but doesn't realize that in 3 months she's pregnant. The Bible says your sin will find you out. I wrote something here. The Bible says that a man, when he thinks he is strong, to be careful lest he falls. When you think you're strong, be careful. That's the time you'll fall. You're going through situations in your marriage, or you're personally going through situations in your own personal life. That's the time to seek the Lord. That's the time to come to the throne of God. You say, Lord, forgive me, for I have done against you. Whatever it is that you've done. Otherwise, you're going to continue a relationship with God, but the problem is God's not speaking anymore. He goes on, verse 6. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. What do you mean no pity? No pity in killing Uriah to have his wife. David didn't care. He committed murder. He committed adultery. And David now is being exposed by the prophet. David, this is you. You're the one that killed her husband. You're the one that took her. You had an intercourse relationship with her. And then you send her home. As soon as you were done, send her home. But that you didn't really know is that she would become pregnant. And she would have a child. Well, he goes on in verse 7 through 9, the identification here. And then Nathan, the prophet, said to David, you are that man, David. You just expose yourself. Right now, you expose yourself. That story is you. I told you, and you told me exactly when I told you to this story that I would expose it, and you have been exposed. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel, David. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. He begins to mention to him everything God had done in the past to David. And you say, well, David, why would you, God has done so much in your life, why would you do this in the presence of the Lord and take secondary in taking the best? David, how come you didn't take the best? How come you blew it? When everything was going on with the Lord, he was speaking to you, he was using, he was blessing you, and now for the last year, he has done nothing for you. That story is for each one of us individually. I don't know where you are spiritually this morning, husband, wives, single people, young people. But if you really want God to use your life, you got to submit yourself to God. You got to die to yourself. If any man wants to come after him, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. David didn't take up his cross. David did whatever he wanted to. He is king. And you know, according to the law, David and Bathsheba should have been stoned to death. But the Lord says, instead of being stoned to death, I'm going to take your baby. And David, you're going to have nothing but problems with your family from now on. You reap what you sow. That's what the Bible teaches. You reap what you sow. He goes on. He says, verse 8, I gave you your master's house, your master's wives, into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if it had been too little, I also would give to you much more. You should have done it. If you asked me for anything, I would have given it to you, but you didn't. Why did you come to me? I would have given you anything you wanted. I anointed you. I used you. I spoke to you. And now you've sinned against me. What are you going to do, David? Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord, David? To do evil in his sight. The Lord saw it. And God always sees our sin. We don't hide from sin. God sees it. You cannot hide from God. I don't care where you go. He goes with you. Light or darkness doesn't really matter. He sees. He is God. He gives you the opportunity like David. Look, when are you going to turn back the light on? You're going back into the darkness. And since Uriah was killed here by David, violence will be in the house of David. Will continue plague, violence. David, you are that man. And from now on, you know what? I'm going to be watching you and you're going to reap to what you've sown. Verse 9. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? Thou shalt not commit adultery. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon, the enemy he used to kill Uriah. David was not carrying his cross, and that's why he fell. The same thing with each one of us individually. If we're not careful, the way we live, the way we do things in the kingdom of God, very important.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. It's our privilege to equip you with biblical direction and timely inspiration for your spiritual journey. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for resources including the complete 6-lesson spiritual gifts series. Let's return now to more with Raul Reese.
In verse 10 he says, Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Whoa. Absalom would kill his brother Amnon. Son Adonijah was killed by Solomon when Solomon took the throne. He killed David's son. And then the sword did not depart from the house of David. David experienced pain of the son. And notice he experienced not only pain, but the sword in his house until he died. And goes on to declare verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. They're going to come against you, your own children. Your own family are going to come against you. How many of us have seen that? As God is talking to David here, I will raise up adversity against you in your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of his son. Notice that. Aslan would lay with all his wives. Everyone on top of the roof so that everybody knows what he was doing. No shame. No shame at all. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the son. Wow. Imagine. Listen carefully to what he's saying for all of us. He says, you sin, I forgive you. But at the same time, if you sin, you don't repent, I'm going to expose you. You can't get away with sin, I don't care who it is. God will expose it. And when you're exposed, you pay the penalty of sin. But if I come now like David and say, I'm sorry, God forgives me, but David, you're going to reap. I'm sorry, but you're going to reap. And then, incredible, as he sees here, verse 13. And David said to Nathan the prophet, I have sinned against who? Against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Why? Because a person that commits adultery, that person, that woman, are to be stoned to death. But the Lord said, "I'm not going to let you be stoned, but you're going to pay the consequences of your sin because you're the king." David, you are the person. 14, however, because by his deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born is going to die. That's part of the reaping and the sowing in David's life. I'm not going to let you have this baby. I'm going to take it away from you. The next baby would be Solomon. So this baby, gone. Verse 15. Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became sick. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and played all night long. Notice, played all night long on the ground. And so the elders of his house got up and went to him to raise him up from the ground. He was mourning, he was crying, he was wailing. But it would not, nor did he eat any food with them. And then on the seven days later, it came to pass that the child dies. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not listen to our voice. How can we tell him now that the child is dead? He may do some harm." So they're afraid to tell David. But David knows what happens when a person dies. Verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, see, David knows. David perceived that the child was dead. He had discernment. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David got up from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worship. And then he went into his own house, and when he had requested, they set food before him, and he ate. You see, the child is gone now. I can live a normal life back again. It's incredible that after that baby died, that David breaks into a fast and worship his God. So now you can see in verse 20 that David is back in fellowship with God. He can worship. When he was laying in sin with Bathsheba, there was no worship, there was no communion, there was no voice of God in the life of David. No matter what you do, the Lord does not speak when you're living a life of sin. He can't. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, and the Holy Spirit is grieved. Holy Spirit is God. So when the Holy Spirit is grieved, that word grieve again is bringing pain forth, because the Holy Spirit is a person. He can't speak to you. He goes into the back room and waits until you repent. And then he can come back and speak to you. This is happening in the church, in so many churches today. They're worshiping. They got a nice choir. They have a nice band. And people are sitting and they're worshiping. And then all of a sudden you have a lot of people within that congregation that every week they leave the church and they party, they do whatever they want to do, and then they expect on Sunday morning to be spoken to by the Lord. But they leave the same way they came. No voice of God. But when you come to the house of the Lord and you truly repent, the voice of God is going to be heard in your life. He goes on. Verse 21, and his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted, you wept for the child while he was alive, but when he died, you got up and you ate?" I mean, how can you do that? They didn't understand. And David said, "While the child was alive, I fasted, I wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. He left it in the hands of the Lord. Lord, whatever your will may be, Lord, I stand back and I watch. Well, the will of God was to take my child. Now he's gone. Now I can continue to live my life and see what God intends to do in my life. And then verse 23. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? And I shall go to him, but he shall not rest, and he shall not return to me. So David comforted Bathsheba. So she bore a son, called his name Solomon, peaceable, his name in Hebrew. And now the Lord loved him. God's going to give him a child by the name of Solomon that will become the next king when David dies. And he will take the leadership of the nation of Israel. So you see, sometimes God's plans are not our plans. You have to be careful with that. You want to be according to his will? Yes. But you want to be in his will. Whatever you do, I want to be in God's will. I don't want to be ahead of God. I don't want to be behind him. I want to be right next to him and say, Lord, speak. I want to hear what you have for me, Lord. And I think we can learn a lot from that. And probably a lot of you have done that, to listen to the voice of the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you don't listen to the voice of God. I would say to you, continue to hear the voice of God. And then, verse 24. And then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son when he called his name Solomon, peaceable. And now the Lord loved him. And he sent word by the hand of Nathan, the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah. God loves him because of the Lord. Notice, God was behind everything he was doing at this point in time. Remember in verse 24, and now the Lord loved him, loved to Solomon. Solomon was going to be God's king in the time to come. Verse 25 again. And he sent word to who? By the hand of Nathan. They had to be what? He had to be informed. Then he says, verse 26, now Joab fought against Reba and the people of Ammon and took the royal city. So they're still fighting Ammon. And Joab sent messengers to David. And David said, I have fought against Rahab, and I have taken the city's water supply. So he went in, he defeated the city, he took the water supply because they needed water. And then he says, and now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it. Notice, take it. Lest I take the city and I be called after my name. So David gathered all the people together and went into Reba, fought against it, and took it. And then he took their kings a crown for his head. It weighed about a talent, $3,000 to $40,000, just the crown of gold.
If you've made sinful decisions that are hampering your relationship with the Lord, we hope you'll seek His face today for a fresh start. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We've made a copy of today's lesson available to you in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's study, David's Repentance and Forgiveness. We'd also like to tell you about a special collection of 5 messages from the series we're currently airing. Available on both CD and flash drive, these lessons on forgiveness will further enrich your understanding of God's gracious heart. They'll also guide you in showing others the same mercy you've received from the Lord as you let go of your pain and move forward in grace. You'll discover peace, rest, and compassion as you learn to walk in God's mighty unconditional love. To order this 5-lesson forgiveness study, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send the USB drive for just $7 or the CD set for $20. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765.
We are so grateful for your partnership. Your donations help us keep sharing the Bible's matchless wisdom and hope. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll see that the Lord's healing mercies are greater than our hurts. He can help us forgive even the deepest wrongs, just as He Himself has forgiven us. Here's Raul once again with the closing thought.
And then verse 31, and He brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws, iron picks, iron axes, and made them cross over to the brickwork. And so He did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. So He took the prisoners of war, His enemy, and now He's going to use them to be the laborers to build for David. Notice. And so He did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. And then David and all the people returned back to Jerusalem. What you sow, you reap.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.